We now have 7 Spanish language transcripts of issues, etc. that you can download for free.
Ahora tenemos 7 transcripciones en español de issues, etc. que se puede descargar gratis.
These broadcast transcripts cover the 6 chief parts of Luther's Small Catechism and include a teaching on why do bad things happen.
Estas transcripciones cubren las 6 partes principales del Catecismo Pequeño de Lutero e incluyen una enseñanza que se llama ¿Por qué pasan las malas cosas?
Guests include Matt Harrison, Peter Bender, and Carl Fickenscher.
Los invitados incluyen Matt Harrison, Peter Bender, y Carl Fickenscher.
You can download and print these Spanish transcripts for free. Just go to issuesetc.org and click Publications.
Se puede descargar e imprimir estas transcripciones en español gratis. Solo vaya a issuesetc.org y haz clic en publicaciones.
Let Jesus speak now in the worlds of politics, business, arts, science, technology, and social media.
You treat your pastor the way you would treat Jesus. You make his life miserable. Don't think it's because you love Jesus. You make your pastor's life miserable, it's because you hate God.
Nowhere does the Bible teach that being a Christian means that your sinful desires go away.
Did God really forgive my sins when the pastor pronounced me forgiven, when the water of baptism was poured on to me, when I ate Jesus' body and blood in the Lord's Supper? I didn't see any forgiveness of sins, but I trust the promise.
Western New York State independent Baptist pastors love issues, etc.
We know at least part of the story, don't we? There's a prophet. He is sent to Nineveh. He flees away from, well, the opposite direction, away from Nineveh and away from God. God sends a storm. He sends a fish. And then he sends the prophet again to Nineveh. And that's about all the farther our general knowledge of Jonah goes. There's more to the story, by the way. Jonah actually gets to Nineveh. And in the end, that entire city, that great city, repents in sackcloth and ashes. What is this story all about, and why does Jesus reference it with regard to his own death and resurrection? Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. on this Monday afternoon, October the 21st. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We'll be going through a little bit of the Issues Etc. comment line, then talking about the book of Jonah and the prophet Jonah with Pastor Tom Baker, teaching a Sunday school lesson on this Monday afternoon. And then in hour two of Issues Etc., it is Issues Etc. Reformation Week. The theme of the entire week is Reformation Confessors. We're going to start with the first, Martin Luther, the 16th century reformer. A little biography, a little understanding of who Luther was and what his theology means. Dr. Ken Sherb will be our guest. You can join us for the next 2 hours, 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943. Send us an email, talkback@issuesetc.org, or a tweet at issuesetc, or you can leave a question or a comment for Pastor Ken Sherb as we talk with him an hour or two beginning Issues Etc. Reformation Week at our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc, facebook.com/issuesetc. We always like to respond to our listeners when they leave questions or comments at the Issues Etc. comment line. That's why we leave this line open 24/7 for our listeners. Questions, comments, show suggestions, criticism, whatever they want to say. Especially our beloved on-demand listeners, 618-223-8382, 618-223-8382. We call it the Issues Etc. comment line. So let's listen first to a comment on, with a question on, how am I saved?
Hello, Todd and Jeff. This is Deborah from California. I'm your biggest Northern California fan. And I just realized there's something that I'm not finding the answer to my satisfaction. I became a Christian about 20-ish years ago, 1989, through having a born-again experience. I became a Christian at a singles retreat. My pastor came up to me because I made the big announcement, you know, you have your time after that, the other retreat, praise and prayer time. And I went up there, and I literally felt like something was pushing me up. And I said, in front of 180 people, I just accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. I mean, I don't even know what made me say that. I'd been going to Bible studies with my girlfriend, and thankfully she took me there. And it was an evangelical Protestant church that I still am affiliated with that I'm very, 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 very interested in Lutheranism. And David from Colorado, another frequent fan of yours, got me interested in your show, and I listen to your show on a daily basis. So my question is, since I became a Christian, Because all along I've been told that you become a Christian, you ask Jesus into your heart, which I always thought was kind of weird because the Bible never says that. It says repent and believe, or repent and be baptized. But I believed before I was baptized. So could you explain to me how I was saved? Am I saved? And how did I get saved? I'm very confused, having been in the evangelical movement for 20-plus years. I just want to know how am I saved, because everything I thought I believed is doesn't seem to be correct. But I am baptized. And I know you get your faith by hearing the word, Romans 10:17. Thank you. Love you guys so much.
Well, I think in a lot of ways you're answering your own question, but they're good questions nonetheless. You are not alone. Many, many people had that, as you called it early there in your comment, born again experience, all that kind of inexplicable, wow, all of a sudden I just found myself going down to the altar or going up to the front. And that sense of kind of, I'm almost compelled to say that that I believe in Jesus Christ, that he died for me on the cross, that what he did at the cross for me was, in fact, for me as it was for the whole world. And so you're not alone in that experience. I don't want to gainsay the experience, because the Holy Spirit produces a multitude of kinds of experiences when people are saved. They can be emotional. They can be not emotional. They can be the kind of typical rock bottom guy in his basement crying out to Jesus with nothing else to hang on to. All of those things are real. I'm not saying they're not real, but you're asking the right question, not so much what happened. I think it's pretty obvious what happened back in 1989 for you at that retreat. What happened was the Holy Spirit, working through that word that you said there near the end of your comment, is the means by which he creates that faith. The Holy Spirit, working through that word, when and where he willed, created in you faith. And that faith speaks. I believed, therefore I spoke. And that faith speaks a confession of faith. That is to say, I believe in Jesus, or Jesus died for me. All those kinds of confessions of faith that the word produces by the Holy Spirit. So that's what happened. You're asking how it happened? Well, I think you're on the right track when you reference what Scripture says. Scripture calls people to repent and believe. Now, those aren't just idle words. Those are words that actually produce in us what it is they say. So the call to repent from Holy Scripture causes repentance. And the call to believe causes faith, causes belief. And there's something to be grasped there, isn't there? It's not just believing in Jesus in some sort of generic sense, but knowing that what he did at the cross, he did for you. Here's the question, I think, that's really behind your confusion. And that is, what was the sequence of events? Did I believe, and then did the Holy Spirit? Did I accept? Did I decide? Well, you're on the right track. Scripture says it's not our decision. You did not choose me, I chose you, Jesus says. So even before you were aware of it, back in 1989, and maybe for a long time beforehand, in fact, I can say with absolute certainty on the basis of Scripture, from before the foundation of the world, you were chosen in Christ to believe. And God sometimes takes his time from our perspective, that in that baptism, he continued to work in that promise. He continued to bring you into contact with his word, whereby in time he and he alone created faith in your heart. Now, that sense of decision, that experience follows after that. Sometimes it does, sometimes it doesn't. That sense of feeling, that experience follows that. But God was at work first in you, both to will and to do all of this. You might have become aware of it or aware of his work to a greater or lesser extent, but rest assured, and this is a very assuring, very comforting thing, to know that your salvation does not rest on that experience, its intensity, or on your decision, how firm your decision may or may not be, but your salvation rests entirely upon what Jesus did for you at the cross. And if he did all to save you there, he does all to save you here in real time and to bring you to faith. So God gets all the credit, 100%, for the fact that you believe. Was there a point after which he has done his work to save you and to bring you to faith, where there was a conscious decision on your part. Yes, but that was entirely and completely the fruit of what the Holy Spirit had worked in you. It was not the cause of your salvation, but was in fact the result of your salvation. So it's not that we decry decisions. We just say our decision, however we may experience it, follows upon as a fruit of God's work in creating faith first in us by His Word through His Holy Spirit. And lots of people believe before they're baptized. Lots of people do. And I'm glad you are baptized.
My name's Jacob. I'm from the Florida Keys, Marathon, Florida. I've been searching for podcasts for years now, ever since they came out, on evidences for the Christian faith. Somehow I came across Issues, Etc., several years ago, and I've been a major fan ever since. I listen to you on my iPod while I'm doing work and any activities, jogging, exercising. The things I really love about Issues, Etc. are the topics that are covering socially relevant issues. Right now I'm listening to Jesus and Homosexuality, answering critics' objections that Jesus never said anything about homosexuality. These are really important issues, and the church is just drastically lacking in answers to these objections or these criticisms. I've heard people from my own church, and I'm from a different denomination, say just the worst type of arguments in favor of anything, whether it's homosexuality or not preaching hell or who am I to tell someone what they're sinning. And it's just terrible. And I love Issues, Etc. as guest speakers. They're just really top of the bar. All types of speakers you've had on there. I love the eclectic variety also of issues. You have hymns. You have focus on church fathers and leaders. You recommend books. I've purchased already Women Pastors, and I'm looking forward to the Apocrypha purchase. And it's just an amazing, amazing podcast. Please, please keep it up. I've recommended it to my friends, and I hope to have a better influence of it in the future. So thank you for what you're doing. We just keep on chiseling out these apologetics podcasts on Issues, Etc., especially topics that cover social issues, abortion, the sanctity of marriage, divorce, cohabitation, and all these things that people have started coming out and saying, well, they're not relevant anymore, and they're producing their own statistics to say, well, this Christian idea of ethics is just not true and not relevant. Creationism, Old Earth creationism. It's just amazing all the things you do. So thank you so much and keep it up.
Thank you very much. Thanks for listening, by the way. That's what actually keeps us on the air. But I will say that's the great strength of doing live daily radio. When you do live daily radio, you are able to respond to all these topics that are kind of in the, what do you say, in the bullseye of relevance, so to speak, as it wanders around social moral issues, responding in real time to things as they're happening, as they're being said. And of course, you put your finger right on the great strength of this radio program, and that is its guests. It's great, fantastic, generous guests, and its listeners. The comment line, 618-223-8382. When we come back, Pastor Tom Baker and Jonah.
We're going to try to talk about something that we call the elephant in the room, and that is what kind of music is appropriate for the church's life.
Dr. Arthur Just, on the 4th Annual Conference of the Good Shepherd Institute, November 3rd through the 5th, on the campus of Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
So we are really looking forward to this being, in many ways, a breakthrough sort of conference for us and maybe for the church, as it talks in a very collegial, wonderful atmosphere like we have at the Good Shepherd Institute about what is, for many people, a very difficult and sometimes contentious issue.
You can find out more about the Good Shepherd Institute, November 3rd through the 5th, at Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, at ctsfw.edu, ctsfw.edu, or call 260-452-2244, 260-452-2244.
We're churchmen, not company men. You're listening to Issues, Etc. It was the day after Christmas in 1538 when family and friends who were gathered around Luther's table heard him say, "There is no finer gift that a parent can give to a child than an education in the liberal arts." For over 100 years, St. Paul's Lutheran School in Brookfield, Illinois, has been emphasizing the 6 chief parts and the 7 liberal arts, providing classical education in the Lutheran tradition. Visit our website at spbrookfield.org or call 708-485-0650.
Do you have a student finishing up 8th grade at a Lutheran school? Do you wish there were a Lutheran high school close to where you live so your student could continue going to a Lutheran school? What if there was an opportunity for high school students in public or Lutheran school to take classes like Latin, logic, and hard-hitting theology courses? Well, there is. It's called Wittenberg Academy, the first completely online classical Lutheran high school. Visit our website, wittenbergacademy.org, to find out more.